We're going to move right into our program today because we have so much to cover. And this program, let me remind you, will also be posted next week on carolcobyradio.com, carolcobyradio.com, and you can pass it along to friends, neighbors, family, if you feel like something that they should be listening to, or also pick it up again yourself. Also, each week this program runs live on WTDY.com, so if you're traveling over the holidays and outside of the list area, be sure to stay tuned to WTDY via your computer. And we also have an app now. Can you believe that? We are so high tech around here. And you can get a free app for WTDY on your cell phone as well. So we try to be available in the means that's most convenient and enjoyable for you. This segment of our program today is brought to you by Home Health United. You got a friend right here online at homehealthunited.org. Well, if you haven't heard this, you really are living, I think, on some other planet, because on March 23rd, 2010, President Obama signed into law the Affordable Care Act. And the Affordable Care Act is what you hear more informally as healthcare reform. Some people call it Obamacare. And now there is twisting that and turning that around a little bit to say Obama cares. And that's what the Affordable Care Act is all about. While provisions of it are continuing to be implemented, the actual impact of the Affordable Care Act won't take place until 2014, when the competitive health marketplaces are established, known as the healthcare exchanges. And we want to talk today about the Affordable Care Act, how it is impacting all of us in the United States and the different segments of society right now, and what we can expect if the Affordable Care Act continues to be implemented as the law was signed on March 23rd. And with us are three people who have great expertise on this subject. Joining me today in the studio is Doug Hill, and he is with Know Your Care Wisconsin, which is a nonpartisan organization set up for the purpose of educating people about the Affordable Care Act. So their opinions and views on it are based on the true facts and not misperceptions that may be occurring, which we know are occurring with the Affordable Care Act. Also here in the studio is Sarah Finger, and she is Executive Director of the Wisconsin Alliance for Women's Health, and also the coordinator of the Save Badger Care Coalition. And that really will come to play in our conversation today. If you take the Wisconsin State Journal and see the headlines in today's journal, the Fed's unlikely to meet deadlines. And this is the sweeping changes that are proposed to our joint health plan, which the state of Wisconsin submitted a request for a waiver, and the Center for Medicaid and Medicare Services feels that they can't meet the December 31st deadline. But this affects those on Badger Care. And Sarah has great knowledge about this and is coordinator of the Save Badger Care Coalition, and so she can explain just exactly what that article means. I read all the details and see these numbers, and it's a little confusing, but I know it'll all be cleared up. Also on the telephone is Billy Feitlinger, and Billy is executive director of the Wisconsin Alliance for Retired Persons. So let me invite you to join in the conversation if you would like. You may have questions or comments, and our guests are here to clarify any kind of questions or concerns that you might have. Our telephone number is 321-1670, 321-1670, or *123 on your U.S. cellular phone. So first of all, welcome. I am so pleased to have you here in the studio. And Billy, are you there on the line?
Yep. Thank you so much, Carol, for doing this.
Oh, well, we really appreciate your making the time. All of you, this is a busy time of year, and to take time on a weekend, a holiday weekend, we particularly appreciate. Doug, let me start with you. Know Your Care Wisconsin. What is the Affordable Care Act and the points that you feel are just critical to get across on an umbrella concept of this really historical legislation.
Well, first, let me say thank you for having us here today and affording us this opportunity to talk about it. Know Your Care in Wisconsin, our whole mission and our goal is to educate and raise awareness of the Affordable Care Act with the Wisconsin public. And everything we do is focused on that. As you said, the law was passed and signed in March of 2010. And since that time, you know, there is confusion. It's obviously new law. It's new policy, and like new laws and new policy, people are oftentimes misinformed or just don't understand. So our mission in Wisconsin is to educate the people about the specific aspects and benefits available to them that are part of the law. And what we try and do is work with great organizations in the state, like the Alliance for Women's Health and like the Alliance for Retired Americans, to go out to their organizations and to various parts of the state and talk about the Affordable Care Act. And what we found is when you talk about it in general, from a macro standpoint, people tend to get confused and sometimes misunderstand the specifics. So what we try and do is break it down into segments and work with groups and organizations to try and talk about those segments. And so some of the confusion that we found in talking about it in its entirety fades away when you talk to people about how it affects them more specifically.
It's interesting that the Affordable Care Act has become a highly partisan piece of legislation, and yet when you look back in history, this is 100 years in the making. And going back to Teddy Roosevelt, who first initiated conversations and a desire and seeing a need that people need to have some form of health care, a foundation, because this is something that 100% of people are at risk for. And you go through administrations over history, FDR, when he was putting his great plan together, he considered the health care, and that was all part of the conversation. Certainly, Harry Truman actually came, one day or one moment that far away from having legislation passed. Certainly, Lyndon Johnson did get Medicare passed, and under the same kinds of scrutiny and conversations at that point and concern. And so there was quite a bit of vocal volatility at that point, but it did get passed. And now, don't touch my Medicare. I mean, we know that feeling. And Richard Nixon, I mean, he was really responsible for getting the HMO system into place. Highly regarded healthcare as a major need of this country and began to implement steps toward it. And of course, then President Clinton and Hillary Clinton and those efforts. So it's come to this point. It's like it's a conversation that needs to have a resolution. And it, at least at this point in history, it was resolved on March 23rd, when for the first time in our history, actual legislation was passed. So is that a pretty fair overview of the history of this?
I think it is fair, Carol. And I think, you know, I think no matter your political affiliation, you understand this is a critical issue to every American and every person and every family. And I think, you know, the political debate that's surrounding it is not so much about that there's a problem, but, you know, how do you attack that problem? And I think that's when you talk about the political debate surrounding this, you know, how do you provide, you know, health care in an effective, cost-effective manner to everybody and do it in a way that is beneficial? And so I think that's what surrounds this politically. I know with our organization, you know, we stay away from the politics of it because it actually is law right now. And our whole purpose is to talk about, you know, the law in place currently and what's going to be coming online in the future. And that's where we attack it here in the state.
Why was this law needed?
Well, I think, you know, you're going to get a lot of different answers. But, you know, I mean, I think the number one reason that I would say is that, you know, not everybody has access to health care. And, you know, again, when you're going to get in that debate, whether you think health care is a privilege or a right. I think that, you know, when you look at the cost shifting that's taken place, the rising costs of healthcare, both, you know, from an industry perspective, from a premiums perspective, and what it costs an individual and a family, it's something that needs to be addressed. And I think if you look at or ask many experts, they cite the rising cost of healthcare as, you know, the number one, if not a top reason that we're going to have in addressing our economic concerns.
What is it? Somewhere around 50 million people that are uninsured in this country?
I believe that's correct.
And basically, they aren't truly uninsured. There is this underlying universal health care plan in the United States where no one can be turned away from an emergency.
Well, and that's a really good point. And so oftentimes, you know, we hear, you know, that, you know, I don't want to be paying for somebody else's health care, when in fact the reality is we already are. Every time somebody goes to an emergency room and uses those services, the hospital has to pass those costs on to somebody else, and it's passed on, you know, to us as consumers, and that, you know, translates into higher premiums and higher healthcare costs for all of us. So extensively, you know, we are paying for other people's healthcare.
Right. That's escalated in people's premiums. Besides, it's just at the moment care for whatever the problem is at the moment. It isn't care that could have prevented the problem from occurring in the first place. It's the most expensive kind of care. And there's not really a follow-up plan built into it because they're just caring for that particular problem at the moment, when the whole health picture of the individual is probably a whole lot bigger than
right.
that and greater need.
That's absolutely true. And one of the main components of the Affordable Care Act is focusing on preventive care, so that we can address healthcare concerns at the outset and hopefully before they even begin, so that those issues such as someone having to go to the emergency room when they're there because they're at, you know, the absolute worst moment, they've realized that they do need help and they may have suffered through, you know, pain and injury to get to the point where they realize they need to do that. The Affordable Care Act really tries to drive down those costs by providing opportunities and benefits to the public so that they can get those preventive measures, whether they're women, men, seniors, or children, so that we can start to stop that cost shift and hopefully get at those costs.
What about the costs?
Oh,
hello, yes, Billy?
Carol, yes, and you asked the question about why we thought this was an important piece of legislation, and I think there's several things. Before I talk specifically as it relates to current and future retirees, the number one issue is what you just said, is we want to make sure the Wisconsin Alliance for Retired Americans, that all American citizens have coverage with health insurance. We feel very strongly that it's a right and not a privilege. We also believe it's more cost effective, as you said, rather than having somebody go to an emergency hospital, they would have a primary care doctor. The costs are significantly higher, and the taxpayers of this state and this country pay for those expenses. And secondly, and before I talk specifically about the Medicare beneficiaries, is making sure that insurance companies can no longer ban children and adults with pre-existing conditions. We think those are two very important things. Do we think the law is perfect? No. Our major concern is that it still doesn't contain the health care costs, because right now we're looking at about double-digit increases for medical costs. But as it relates specifically to Medicare beneficiaries, and Doug will talk more specifically about some of this, is that one of the keys is prevention, and that under the law, there are a number of benefits, preventive service benefits, that are available to current and in the future Medicare beneficiaries for health care prevention. And we think that's where they won't have paid deductibles, no co-pays, and we think that's one way not only important for the senior, but also being a cost-effective measure, because right now, approximately about 75% of the medical costs are for chronic diseases. So we see that as an important thing. We also get very upset when people say that benefits have been cut from this law. That's just not true. In fact, these are gotten better. A second piece of information that we're trying to get out to the public is the affordability of prescription drugs. As time goes along under Medicare Part D, which is the law that was passed back in 2004, it deals with prescription drugs, there will no longer be this thing called the donut hole, mm-hmm. where right now many costs are paid for out of the pocket of each Medicare beneficiary. That will be reduced over the years, where it will be finally eliminated later in the 2020, I'm sorry. And the last piece is that under the law, we have stronger enforcement of fraud and waste. Many medical providers don't mean to duplicate billings. We've got to get those under control. And then secondly, there are some people who are causing fraud, and we've got to deal with that as an important piece of cutting back on costs for Medicare and other health care costs.
I want to talk to you further about some of the benefits for seniors that are already in place, and we don't have to wait until 2014. And then, Sarah, also the women's health issues and their coverage, that has there's special emphasis on that within the Affordable Care Act, and those go into place even before 2014 and 2012.
Wisconsin women have been winning with the Affordable Care Act since it was signed into law. And yes, it's going to get rolled out over the next couple years, but it was really important for us to see this kind of historic legislation passed to start ending discriminatory practices that have really hurt women in the current healthcare system. Healthcare reform is a women's health issue. Women have been made to pay way more out of pocket for their healthcare costs, have been discriminated against because of their unique healthcare needs, have been more dependent on spouses for healthcare insurance, and again, have had a much harder time affording to buy into the private health insurance market. So this is a huge win for Wisconsin women and women everywhere to be able to start leveling the playing field a little bit more. And to see hope as not only our individual healthcare coordinators, but the coordinators of care for our families and people in our lives, that this is a really great way for us to start affording quality, accessible healthcare.
We're going to stop for a break now. And when we come back, we're going to find out what some of these specific coverage areas are for women and for seniors, and to continue our conversation today on the Affordable Care Act and what it means to you individually and to the people of Wisconsin and the people, the citizens of the United States. Our guests here on All About Living are Doug Hill from Know Your Care Wisconsin, Sarah Finger of Wisconsin Alliance for Women's Health and the Save Badger Care Coalition, and Billy Feitlinger, Wisconsin Alliance for Retired Persons. We'll be right back with more of our program after these messages from our sponsors. You're listening to All About Living here on Madison 1670 WTDY. Welcome back to our program, and this segment is brought to you by Gunderson Funeral and Cremation Care, the Life Celebration Center. We're talking about healthcare reform today, specifically the Affordable Care Act. And joining me here in the studio are Doug Hill from Know Your Care Wisconsin, Sarah Finger, the Wisconsin Alliance for Women's Health and Save Badger Care Coalition, and on the telephone, Billy Feitlinger with the Wisconsin Alliance for Retired Persons. And before, Billy, before we talk about some of the specific benefits in the Affordable Care Act for seniors, which I want you to address, let me ask you a general question. We hear much today in the political conversation that the Affordable Care Act, it should be repealed because we don't want the government in between the patient and the doctor or the healthcare providers, or between us and the healthcare providers. What is your response to that, that the Affordable Care Act does put government in between?
Sure. Well, as you probably well know, and your listeners know, that back in 1967, when Medicare was initiated by President Johnson, the reason was because seniors were not able to get good coverage or any coverage from health insurance companies because of the costs. As you get older, obviously, there are going to be more medical costs. And we are very concerned about basically how some people in Congress want to change this, basically put the health care containment, cost containment, by shifting the costs to the consumer. And our belief when someone has retired, they have the right and have earned the right to have good quality of life. And one of the key areas, obviously, is health care. And by shifting the costs to a senior, will basically make them have to make a decision of either getting those health care services or doing without them because they can't afford them. And we believe very strongly that we think we can come up with cost-effective ways, because right now the cost, administrative cost for Medicare, is about 3 to 6%. Some of the larger insurance companies could be as much as 25%. So we think there are ways that we can be cost-effective and still be able to maintain this great program called Medicare.
But what about the government then being in between the senior or any person covered under the Affordable Care?
The only intervention really is that the Medicare has certain standards, but it's really between the patient and the doctor. And that does not get changed under this law. It really is between the patient and the doctor. The issues are is how can we prevent chronic diseases and do a better job in that? How can we deal with fraud and duplications of billings. How can we make sure that as years go by, there will be less costs for prescription drugs that make it more affordable for seniors who fall into the donut hole through this law? So we feel pretty strongly that we are not the government is not telling doctors what to do.
Well, it seems to me that the Affordable Care Act is expanding services to
seniors.
I would
say it's actually building a bridge between providers and patients. It's giving access for the first time, affordable quality access for the first time, to many of these individuals who have gone uninsured or underinsured. And so I completely dispute that argument. And again, it's really interesting when some legislators right now in one area of healthcare don't want to have any hand in what happens in terms of securing healthcare access, yet they want to legislate every pregnancy and every woman's healthcare aspects and some of the policies they're introducing these days. So it works both ways. And if we're truly going to be about helping connect individuals to access to healthcare, we ought to build these kind of bridges and not stand in the way of comprehensive healthcare.
Well, I've been doing a fair amount of programs on the healthcare reform ever since it's been passed. And just from my sense of it, what it does is really it allows people access to insurance. It doesn't tell the doctor exactly how to treat that patient.
And I'd also add, Carol, that you know, the notion that, you know, this is government health insurance really isn't true. Under the Affordable Care Act, the states will be setting up what's called an exchange, which is really the simplest way to describe it is kind of like a Travelocity web portal to choose your health insurance. And it's not going to be government health insurance. Private insurance companies are going to choose or not to choose to participate in these exchanges. There'll be minimal standards of what these health insurance plans will need to provide in order to be a part of the exchange. But there can be two insurance companies, there can be 10 insurance companies, there can be 20 insurance companies. It's all going to depend on what the state exchange looks like. But the notion that this is a single-payer, government-run healthcare program is totally not true. It's not really even like Medicare or VA healthcare benefits that are for our veterans. So it's totally separate and very different.
It's similar to the choice that you make for the Part D coverage of Medicare, where you choose from a private insurance company offering prescription benefits, or the supplemental plans to Medicare, which are all private insurance companies that are offering a supplemental plan to the Medicare coverage. And they have certain standards. If they're going to offer a supplemental plan, it has to include this, that, and the other thing. Well, now the policies and the health care on the health exchanges are going to have to include this, that, and the other thing, including a lot of preventive care.
That's correct. And in addition to the private plans, there'll be different levels of the plans, too. There'll be a bronze, silver, gold, and platinum.
Sure.
So if you as an individual want the minimum amount of coverage, you can choose to do that. If you want more, you can have
more.
If you
want all the bells and whistles, you can have them and you can pay for them.
Right. And the beauty of this is it'll be right in front of you. You can go online and look at it and do a comparison as to what you want and what you don't want and how much you would be willing to pay for that.
Billy, let me get back. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, because I have to leave in a minute or two.
I know you do.
But this law basically gives resources and makes sure that everyone has the right to coverage, but it also then allows the individual to take personal responsibility. And we feel very strongly that what Doug's going to be talking about in a couple of minutes about the benefits available to seniors will, in terms of preventive services, will be incredibly important for not only this generation but future generations in, one, making sure they have better health care and benefits that help them for future years, but also is cost-effective. As I said before, that 75% of the medical costs are roughly for chronic diseases. And so we feel very strongly this allows all American citizens the resources, and then they have to take some personal responsibility to make sure about their health care, basically.
The patient is part of the team.
That's exactly
right.
Well,
I know you do have to leave shortly, but before you go,
yes.
You talked about the specific benefits for seniors under the Medicare benefits that have been expanded in the prevention area. Can you go ahead and list some of those benefits? Because
well,
I know they went into place January.
Colonoscopies. Getting flu shots every year, heart-related services, all in the book that Doug and his Know Your Care has done is sort of laid out all the kind of preventive service benefits to seniors, not only current seniors, but future seniors in some of the areas that I just mentioned where they will not have to make a copay or a deductible. And we think that is vital in terms of seniors and future seniors, in terms of hopefully getting a handle on prior to them, God forbid, getting a chronic disease. So we feel real strongly those things are really important. And then the second thing is the affordability of prescription drugs. As I suggested, over the next several years, that donut hole will be reduced and eliminated for generic and brand name prescription drugs over the next many years. And at that point, when it finally ends, the whole issue of the donut hole, no longer will seniors have to pay any percentage out of their pockets for those important prescription drugs that they need to continue a quality of life.
Well, one thing about the preventive benefits for seniors, they went into effect already January 1st of 2011.
Absolutely, and that means that basically almost half, they've got half the discounts on brand name prescriptions in 2011 for those seniors who fall in the donut hole, with about 15 to 20% discounts for generic if they fall in the donut hole in 2011. As I said, as years go along after that, it will be reduced and ended of the donut hole for Medicare beneficiaries.
The Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services sent out a press release just this week that said, as of the end of November, more than 24.2 million people with Medicare have taken advantage of at least one free preventive benefit, including the new annual wellness visit, which was made possible by the Affordable Care Act. And also 2.65 million people with Medicare have saved more than $1.5 billion on their prescriptions. And that averages about $569 per person. And that's since the beginning of the year. So
I just want to end on the note that it's very dishonest and it's very disappointing that there are elected officials scaring seniors thinking that their benefits are being cut. It's totally the opposite. And I'm hoping at some point we'll get a handle on making sure that the public, Doug and I go around the state, meet with seniors at senior centers to make sure that they know that there are a lot of available services and benefits from this law.
Thank you so much, Billy Feitlinger, the Wisconsin Alliance for Retired Persons. We really appreciate your taking time for your busy schedule to be available.
Thank you for taking the interest in this important legislation.
Well, I'd like to keep the conversation going so everybody is on the same page. At least we have the facts, and then you can make your decision about it after that.
Thanks so much,
Thanks
Carol.
So much, and have a wonderful day and a wonderful holiday.
You too.
We're going to stop for a break now. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Sarah Finger and Doug Hill all about the Affordable Care Act and the benefits and kind of the paradigm shift that has occurred where it is moving from the reactive kind of care where you're treating the disease and the illness to a preventive model where you catch it up front and you put a Band-Aid on it rather than having to go into surgery. So we'll be right back with more of our program on the Affordable Care Act after these messages from our sponsors. You're listening to All About Living here on Madison 1670 WTDY. Welcome back to our program. Our guests today, Doug Hill from Know Your Care Wisconsin and Sarah Finger, the Wisconsin Alliance for Women's Health and Save Badger Care Coalition. And Billy Feitlinger was just on the telephone in our last segment. He from the Wisconsin Alliance for Retired Persons talking about the preventive benefits and some of the other benefits in the Affordable Care Act, our health care reform legislation passed March 23rd, 2010, or actually signed into law by President Obama in March of 2010. He was referring, Doug, to preventive benefits, and there's a booklet available on all of the preventive benefits that are available in the Affordable Care Act. Is that correct?
There is a booklet. It's called Your Guide to Medicare Preventive Services, and it's offered by the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. And let me give you the website really quick. It's www.medicare.gov. And if you go to that website and then under the publication section, you type in Your Guide to Medicare Preventive Services, the PDF version of this booklet will come up. And it's just a wonderful user-friendly guide to understanding what preventive benefits are available to seniors who are on Medicare. And what Billy and I have been doing is traveling the state, going to senior centers to do forms and presentations, to essentially share this guidebook with seniors and participants who come to the forums, and just do a really quick, you know, guide them through it, explain that they're eligible for an annual wellness visit, and explain the preventive services, such as Billy said, the cancer and mammography and prostate screenings and even flu shots and things like that, very oftentimes at no cost or a reduced copay to seniors. So we find it to be a very useful guide, and I encourage people to go to the Medicare.gov website to try and find it.
And also the annual wellness exam, which is something that seniors have never received before in the Medicare. We'll have the websites of all of these places, the locations, for more information, or the booklets on carolcobyradio.com when the program is posted. So you can go to that and just click on any of them, and you'll be able to have these resources available to you. Let me turn to you, Sarah, to talk more. You were telling about the finally there's going to be parity for women in the Affordable Care Act, and they're not going to be retreated. Being a woman won't be a healthcare risk and be rated as a result.
Or a pre-existing condition.
Or a pre-existing condition, yes. And that's another thing, the pre-existing conditions. People cannot be held back on having to be denied insurance because of pre-existing conditions. And to me, that is probably the number one benefit in this whole legislation. But please go on and explain a little bit more about the women's health issues and services.
As I said before, Wisconsin women win with the Affordable Care Act. And at this point, we need meaningful health care reform implementation in Wisconsin for women to continue to win and truly reach the promise of the Affordable Care Act. As I said before, the Affordable Care Act, there's no more lifetime limits because of the Affordable Care Act. There's new young adult coverage where young people up to the age of 26 can stay on their parents' health insurance. There's pre-existing condition protections, no more discrimination, more doctors where people need them. So this is, again, a real victory for women's health, in that we're going to be able to get more women the kind of affordable quality coverage they need, especially primary preventative care, especially around reproductive health care. That's so much smarter to invest in on the front end for healthier outcomes and more economic security for women in our state.
That people talk about, how are we ever going to afford all of this? The cost. We can't afford this as a nation. What is your answer to we can't afford the Affordable Care Act?
We can't afford not to. If we truly want to invest in a more economic stability in our state and economic security for our working families, we have got to invest in primary health care coverage. And, again, Doug was mentioning whether you think this is a privilege or a right. It's an important aspect of a healthy individual, the well-being, and again, the economic security of an individual. So especially women who are the coordinators of their care and their family's care, they need the confidence knowing that this health care is available to them so that they can plan and support the health and well-being of their families. You talked a little bit earlier about some of the new coverage. We're talking about seniors and some of the new coverage mm-hmm. aspects. Well, as of August of 2012, because of the Affordable Care Act, all new health plans, including those inside the exchange, as Doug had talked about, will have to comply with additional regulations that are really great for women and their healthcare needs. One, it's going to cover well woman visits without a copay. So we're taking away financial barriers to things like well woman visits, screening for gestational diabetes, HPV testing, HIV screening and counseling, breastfeeding support supplies and counseling, domestic violence screening and counseling, and most importantly, I think, is access to contraception at no cost, no copay. So it's making sure that, again, all the financial barriers to some of these basic healthcare needs for women are taken away and that access is made easier.
The reproductive health coverage is in the news a great deal now, and we've been passing legislation here in Wisconsin, and it's in the national conversation as well. How does that fit into what already included in the legislation?
Well, unfortunately, because of women's unique reproductive health care needs and our political environment, the issue of women's basic health care and reproductive health care has been used as a political wedge issue, and it shouldn't be. Reproductive health care, access to family planning services, birth control, STI screening and treatment, that is about as basic as it should get. And unfortunately, it's been politicized, sensitized, and marginalized from women's general health care. So we as women's health advocates, again, want to support the Affordable Care Act and push back on any efforts to compromise the Affordable Care Act and what it can do for women of all ages at every stage of life.
And this doesn't include abortions.
Right? No, actually, it was one of those issues in the debate around health care reform that while there can be abortion coverage, there was a lot of obstacles put in place for women to be able to actually get the coverage to that kind of comprehensive health care. So right now, my private health insurance offers abortion coverage. If I were to buy into the state exchange later on, and I would wanting to, again, I don't know how you ever anticipate having an abortion. There are pregnancy complications that happen. I have a 2-year-old daughter. I have a blood clotting disorder. At any point during my pregnancy, I could have had a complication where I unfortunately would have had to seek termination of my pregnancy. And so you don't anticipate it. But the way the Affordable Care Act was set up with compromises at our federal level was that women had to pay two different checks, one for their basic primary health care coverage and then a separate check for the premium for abortion coverage. So while it's there, again, this issue was used as a political wedge issue during the debate. And this is one of the concessions that women's health advocates have had to live with. And while, again, this is a huge win for Wisconsin women's health and women across this country, it's not the be-all, end-all, but it's in a really great place to start.
Carol, I would just echo what Sarah said from the standpoint that when the Affordable Care Act was set up, it was really set up in a way to give the states a lot of flexibility. And if you, whether you disagree or disagree with that particular issue, there was no mandate for states to have those covered, abortion covered in the exchange plans. And so that flexibility was given to the state, to set it up the way they wanted to. And as Sarah said as well, to have those funds segregated. So if a state chose to allow those abortion coverage in their state exchanges, that there would be segregation of those funds. So there was no mandate from the feds on any state.
Also, these are private insurance companies.
Absolutely, they're private.
The federal government does not, period, cover.
No, there are legislators that like to muddy the waters on this, mm-hmm. but it's very clear the way federal law and state law is set up is that no taxpayer funding is going to go towards the payment or subsidies of any abortion services.
Right.
But again, for my own private healthcare dollars that I use to buy my premium and healthcare coverage, that should be up to the individual's choice as to the kind of coverage they're looking to have.
We're going to stop for a break, and when we come back, I want you to change hats and put on your Save Your Badger Care Coalition, and we'll wind up with a few things that people should know overall about the Affordable Care Act, where to get more information, and your reaction to what is going on in the state of Wisconsin and the proposed waivers that we have a December 31st deadline, which is up in the air whether we're going to make that or not. You're listening to All About Living here on Madison 1670 WTDY. This segment has been brought to you by Turville Bay MRI and Radiation Oncology Center in Madison, where expertise with compassion is powerful medicine. We'll be right back. Our guests are Doug Hill from Know Your Care Wisconsin and Sarah Finger with the Wisconsin Alliance for Women's Health and also the Save Your Badger Care Coalition. We have been talking about the Affordable Care Act, and we've talked a lot about the prevention that is built into it and this paradigm shift to prevention versus reactive health care that is included. But there are many other provisions, some of which have already been implemented, Doug. And could you just highlight some of the major provisions in this bill that should get all of our attention?
Sure. In addition to the work that Know Your Care has done in Wisconsin, going around with partner organizations to talk about preventive care, we've also gone around the state to talk about a couple of other things, one of which is health care coverage for young adults under 26. Under the Affordable Care Act, young adults under the age of 26 are able to stay under their parents' health care plan. Prior to that, they would be removed at age 18. And so what happens now is very oftentimes, you try and make that bridge between, graduation from college or technical school to finding a job. And even there's times when you don't you know, find a job with health care coverage. Now young adults will be able to have that coverage under the Affordable Care
Act. Well, that's a major issue with young people graduating.
Absolutely.
And they take several little part-time jobs or whatever, and there's no coverage.
Right, absolutely. Yeah. And the other area that we're focusing on is how the health care reform affects businesses and small businesses in particular. 2 weeks ago, we partnered with a national organization called Small Business Majority to conduct a webinar where we essentially had experts from the IRS and Small Business Administration from Wisconsin on to talk about the tax credits that are available to small businesses right now to help them provide health care coverage to their employees. Right now, up to 35% of the coverage that an employer provides for their employees can be covered with this tax credit that's available under the Affordable Care Act.
And what would be a resource for people to get more information?
I think the best resource is to go to www.healthcare.gov. It's going to cover everything that we're talking about today, whether you're a small business person, a young adult under 26, a woman, a senior, or just a regular person. That's by far the best resource. It covers all of what we're talking about and has a number of different resources.
It's very consumer friendly. I use it all the time.
It's a great
healthcare.gov.
Correct.
Sarah, Save the Badger Care Coalition, and any other resource that you want to give regarding the Affordable Care Act?
Just to round out the resources, RaisingWomen'sVoices.net is a great place to go if you're interested in learning how women benefit from the Affordable Care Act and the opportunities that exist to speak out and again, support meaningful health care reform implementation in the states.
And we'll have that also on CarolCobyRadio.com. Mm-hmm. .com. So Save the Badger Care. We only have a few minutes left, but I think you'll be able to at least give us a handle on what's going on.
So basically, we are at a point where we're seeing the negative consequences of a power shift that happened in our state budget this spring. And while a lot of people were paying attention to the collective bargaining issue and some other state budget issues, unfortunately, some individuals aren't aware of the fact that in our state budget, there was a shift in power to drastically change Medicaid in the state of Wisconsin to an unelected official, the Secretary Department of Health Services, rather than our full legislature as it used to be. So having a state budget that, one, shifted that power, two, proposed to cut over $500 million from Medicaid, and also set their own deadline of 12/31 for the federal government to approve or not approve their plans, really set us up in a no-win situation. So here we are now in December. It wasn't until November 10th that our state government, the Walker administration, submitted their plans to the federal government to change Medicaid to the point of kicking 64,000 people off of their Badger Care and health care coverage. So on November 10th, they submitted this very comprehensive waiver, set their own deadline so that if our federal leaders did not respond by December 31st, which the clock is ticking on, that there would be a trigger mechanism that, again, the state set up for themselves. The Walker administration set it up. So plan A, a waiver gets approved by the federal government by December 31st, 64,000 people lose their coverage. Plan B is if they don't hear back from the federal government by December 31st, 53,000 people get kicked off next summer. So I always refer to this as Sophie's choice. This was a lose-lose situation from the get-go. Wisconsin is really ground zero for Medicaid reform right now. There's a reason why Secretary Smith was brought to Wisconsin, and the Walker administration is very dead set on undermining Medicaid and health care access in the state. And this is not just Medicaid for the lowest of lowest income individuals right now. This is a program, Badger Care serves over 775,000 individuals in the state of Wisconsin. This is healthcare that has thankfully been there for people in these very tough economic times where they're either not employed or their employer's not providing healthcare coverage. And so we have been a leader in Wisconsin by connecting. This is what Tommy Thompson invested in back under his administration. They invested in Badger Care because they knew it was the right thing to do to not only have better public health outcomes in our communities, but more economic security in our communities. So here we are now, only weeks away from this deadline. And just yesterday, our federal leaders have come back and said, you did not give us adequate time. And we as advocates are being very critical of the administration here in Wisconsin, saying it did not have to be this way. They did not have to shift the power. They did not have to wait until November 10th. They could have done more to work with the individuals whose lives and health are at stake with this. They could have put forth a proposal that actually would have been more reasonable for the federal administration to get behind. And now we're in this horrible quandary where plan A, plan B, either way, tens of thousands of Wisconsinites are losing their health care coverage. So it's a sad and scary day in Wisconsin for health care access. And we, again, around the Affordable Care Act, we with the Save Badger Care Coalition are just desperately trying to compete with all that people are consumed with right now, the holidays and putting gas in their car and getting their heat on in these cold winter days. You know, people are living paycheck to paycheck, have busy lives right now. And so it's really tough to get these issues in front of them. But we've been doing public hearings around the state. We just had one in Rhinelander Thursday night where I believe 30 people attended. And so slowly slowly but surely, we're shedding light on what this administration's doing to healthcare access in Wisconsin.
And what are you asking people to do about it?
Well, what right now we've been doing is trying to reach out to the federal leaders. So Secretary Sebelius with the Federal Health and Human Services and the Centers for Medicaid and Medicare services, we are urging them to deny this waiver. We want this waiver to be rejected, and we need to buy ourselves the time to really see what we can do to prevent those 53,000 from being kicked off next July. And we just need to let the people know, the enrollees, the people that depend on these programs right now, we need to let them know that this train has left the station. And the problem is the department here in the state has done very little to shed light on what this means for the enrollees in these programs and how this might impact them in terms of higher healthcare costs, being kicked off the program.
Well, these people are still going to need health care.
That doesn't go away.
So
you can cut
the
programs all you want.
Is that the emergency room?
And that's what we're talking about. You know, they claim to be cutting inefficiencies in Medicaid. Well, all they're doing is creating greater inefficiencies in the private health care system. And so this cost shifting where so many people being kicked off the program, so many people being moved on to health plans that they can't afford, there's going to be way more uninsured in the state of Wisconsin who are going to seek care at emergency rooms in the worst possible case scenarios. That's going to go uncompensated for care. And those costs have to be absorbed someplace. And that's where those of us in the private market are going to see increasing increases in our premiums because someone's got to pick up that tab.
So if premiums go up, people possibly could blame the Affordable Care Act, but it's could be because the people have been dropped off of Badger Care.
Yeah, and this has nothing to do with the Affordable Care Act. And unfortunately, the Walker administration is very adamant about shifting blame to our federal leaders. They claim that what they want to do next summer and kicking 53,000 people off is just early implementation of the Affordable Care Act. Well, you can't lead people to a bridge where the bridge hasn't been fully built yet. The exchanges, the state exchanges, aren't going to be set up until 2014. So leaving people without health care coverage next July without a state exchange set up for them to turn to, it's like, again, leading people to a bridge that this administration actually wants to blow up because they're opposed to the Affordable Care Act and the state exchanges. And so it's really disingenuous. It's really irresponsible. And it's a really sad showing for the priorities of our state leaders right now, not investing in the health and economic well-being of our citizens.
So if the Affordable Care Act moves forward, this could be a temporary period for these 53,000
people. That's a tough period, a temporary period.
Right, till 2014. But if the Affordable Care Act doesn't go forward, it's permanent and they don't have coverage.
Right. Exactly. And so the Affordable Care Act, again, is that bridge, and we can meet the promise of the Affordable Care Act by the time the full implementation happens, you know, over the next couple years. But again, this administration is, one, not in support of the Affordable Care Act, is not working to set up a state
exchange.
Part
of the lawsuit against it.
Exactly. So at the same time, they're taking early innovator money. At the same time, they're taking taxpayer dollars. They're undermining the very implementation and any kind of meaningful placement of state exchange in the state of Wisconsin. So it's again, it's very frustrating to see our state leaders not rally behind this incredible opportunity and at the same time be really undermining the state's very proud Badger Care and Medicaid programs.
Senior care was extended to 2012, and now the governor just submitted a letter to the federal government to extend it beyond 2012. My understanding of that's the prescription drug program for seniors. My understanding of that is because there was a loud vocal voice from the citizens of Wisconsin, the seniors, who said, don't take our senior care away. And so the administration responded. Are you looking for that same kind of response from the individual citizens of Wisconsin regarding this Medicaid issue?
We definitely need to put a face and a voice to the individuals that have a stake in this. And we all have a stake in this, but... the seniors, I mean, it's interesting when 100,000 people show up on the Capitol Square, they're not necessarily listened to. It's great that the aging community came together and really cried out for protection of senior care. And we have to do the same thing for Badger Care. All of these programs are in our best interest to protect. And again, at one point in Wisconsin history, these were bipartisanly supported. So we need to get back to that common ground, that common appreciation for prevention and the kind of investment that that has for the state of Wisconsin.
We have about 30 seconds. Doug, Sarah, any last word? Doug, resources again, website, anything you have to say about the Affordable Care Act?
I just would say if you have questions, go to healthcare.gov. I think that's the best site. It'll have answer any question that you might have, and I would urge people to utilize it and educate themselves on the benefits that are available to them. And when we're talking about repeal, we're talking about repealing the benefits that people are already taking care of themselves with right now.
Sarah?
I just think we, again, have to really embrace the Affordable Care Act. It's an incredible victory, and don't be intimidated by the process. Organizations like ours are here to help shed light on how, again, Wisconsin women and their families win with the Affordable Care Act.
Thank you so much, Sarah Finger, Doug Hill, Billy Feitlinger, for being with us today and shedding light for all of us on the Affordable Care Act and how it impacts us individually in the state of Wisconsin and a nation as a whole.